Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're grateful you've tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us. And we're hoping today that we will be joined by Ms. Charlotte Iserby. But for a start, I'm going to ask Ms. Christina, if you don't mind, would you start us off in prayer? And I'm going to try to get a hold of Ms. Charlotte while you're doing that.
Okay, and if you don't, then I'll try after we get done.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Father God, we just thank you for the blessing of this time today together on City on the Hill radio show, Father God, and we just thank you that whatever happens today on the show, so hopefully Charlotte will come on, Father God, and she can share an amazing project that she's just completed, Father God, that everyone needs to know about and hear about. So, Father God, we pray that you bring that about today, and Father God, we just ask you that as Diana and I proceed with the show, that your spirit take over, Father, and ministers in a way to people that they can't forget, Father God. So, Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the blessings upon this show and upon all that are listening, Father God. We just ask you to pour out your spirit upon everyone during this time, and Lord, that they would remember you during this period of time that we're in, this holiday season, that they would actually look to you, Father God, and not to the world and to presents and all the parties and the follies, but to look to the true meaning of the season. So, Father God, we just thank you and praise you. We dedicate this show to you, and may we bring honor and glory to all that we put our hands to for your kingdom and your glory, Father God. In your precious name, Yeshua, we pray. Amen. I think, listeners, Diana is still trying to call our guests to see if we, if we're going to have Miss Charlotte Iserby on today. And Charlotte just completed a project called The Global Road to Ruin. And it's a DVD set. It's available at DeliberateDumbingDown.com. DeliberateDumbingDown.com is her website. You can go on to there. You can order the DVD set of Global Road to Ruin. What that does is it explains to you everything that's going on and has gone on and why our education system is in the mess that it's in. And it takes you way back to, you know, well, actually before 1985, but Ms. Charlotte was actually Deputy Secretary of Education under President Ronald Reagan. And she was a whistleblower on Project BEST. And, of course, I'd like Charlotte to tell you about that when she hopefully comes on. So, go ahead.
Well, Ms. Christina, we have, unfortunately, she got caught in a blizzard. She had went to see some family. She got caught in a blizzard, and she got home later. She just had got home, and, she, you know, it's jet lag, I'm sure, and everything else. So I asked her if she would prefer, you know, rescheduling, and she appreciates it. So, of course, you know, no problem for us to reschedule. We will just talk to her in January. So that means you're stuck with me.
Oh, darn. Okay. Well, I was just telling the listeners about Charlotte's project, The Global Road to Ruin, while we were waiting for you to come back on, and telling them where they could go and order it and telling them a little bit about it. That was her, it's just being released now. The DVD set is being released, and it's incredibly informative, and I can't tell you it's exciting. And I can't tell you it's uplifting to listen to, but it explains so much of why things are the way they are today in the education system. And you will better understand after you hear Charlotte in January now. And hopefully you guys will go, you listeners that are listening today will go to her website, deliberatedumbingdown.com, and order the Global Road to Ruin DVD set. It's an awesome awesome thing. You all need to understand this. And once you do, you will realize the importance of getting your children out of this indoctrination system that they're being put into until such time as, you know, perhaps you can do something with your school boards or whatever. But in the meantime, we're in a very dark place in the education system, and you need to rescue your kids and get as many out to homeschool as you possibly can. So that's kind of
something. Well, I agree with you, Ms. Christina. It is so heartbreaking, and I just, you know, I look at what's going on, and I'm hearing from parents, and one of the things that's very troubling is, you know, it is a culture that is, you know, it's almost like the softness is gone, right? I remember, you know, in my little town that where people wave to everybody, you know, there were you know, you can get stopped on the side of the road and not have to worry about somebody is going to, instead of help you, take you away and possibly kill you, right? Just
right.
Because you had a flat tire.
Right. Shoot you, hijack your car, or look at the poor couple that was in New Jersey that he went. They were Christmas shopping at the mall. They come out into the covered parking structure, and he opens the door for his wife, you know, gets her in the car and all that, goes around to the door. He's just climbing in, and here come these two guys trying to carjack the car. They shoot him in the head. I mean, this is the sadness of where we are in our society today. And I will say one thing, Diana. You know, those were two black boys, young men that did this. There's a tremendous amount of rise on black-on-white crime today. Well, you know, do we look at the kids and go, my God, they're horrible kids, or geez, you know, this is terrible, and yada, yada. No, you know what? You know why these kids are like they are today, especially from the black communities, the inner cities? It's because of what our government has done to them via the education system. Every inner-city child was an experiment, where they went in with all these UN-driven agendas for education, outcome-based education, mastery learning, all of these different things, indoctrination. So these kids have actually been, now you're seeing the result of what the government did to them via education.
Oh, Ms. Christina, I think you are right. You are so right, because I know when I worked for, you know, the government, And I had a lot of clients that were, you know, black ladies and grandmas. They were the kindest, most well-mannered ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And I know they did not raise their children and grandchildren to be like what we're seeing. Somewhere along the way, their authority had been taken away, and the only place I can think of that it happens in mass, like you said, a massive indoctrination, it's not the churches.
Right.
It's the school system.
It's the school system. And this is where our school system has actually become a danger to our children. And unbeknownst
indeed
to most, because, you know, it's even like what's happened in our country, Diana. You know, all of us, we're about our business, you know, working and raising our families and all these different types of responsible citizens of America. We weren't thinking that everyone was lying and deceiving and destroying America's sovereignty and destroying America behind our back. But that's what was happening. Well, the same thing applies to education. The parents don't realize they're going about their business, they're working, they're doing, they're being responsible. And yet the government is coming in to literally destroy the hearts and minds of our children with this indoctrination system of theirs, to destroy all morality, to destroy parental rights, any fabric of family. And they've got to bring in all this perversion and sickness and violence. You know, they encourage them to have oppositional behavior. Well, look at the kids then today that are committing these horrible atrocities. They come out of the schools. You know, the Skinnerian method, that brainwashing that they do via technology. That's what was used on those inner city kids, and today we see them coming out. Do I blame those children? No, I blame the system of what we've done to those children.
And you know what, Ms. Christina, too, I think, you know, I remember, I think Joan Landis,
yes,
that spoke, and she spoke about the race to the top, you know, that application, the carrot that
correct
was held out, and she said, you know, the adults should have drawn back from the table and really used logic and said, wait a second, I am going to sign off local parental input for standards that are not even written yet. Where is the sense in that, Ms. Christina? So right at the beginning, you know, which you would think that these adults that are, you know, the ones that's in charge of our education system would have been the adults to stop and take a look. And I love the way that Joan questioned that, because that is the whole point. Nobody stopped and said, wait a second, except, of course, you know, I think the Commissioner of Education for Texas, Scott, did stop and said, wait a second, I want to see him. And then they said, it's not written yet, you know?
Right. No, because the money was the carrot. See, this is the problem. You take people that are desperate, and they'll do anything for money. And this is the problem. They hit the states in 2009 when states were really good. This was right after the crash of 2008. And they hit the states when they were hard-pressed for money. And so they
killed
the
carrot. Well, Ms. Christina, you just said something there. You just said something there about money. And, you know, it's just like you talked right now. We just talked about this crime that was committed by young boys, right?
Correct.
They killed for money.
For a car.
Are educators any much different? Because to me, they're killing the minds of children.
That's
for
right
money.
Yes. And you know, I don't know if even the educators, this is what amazes me how there's no adult in the room, because even the educators don't realize that this government is going to eliminate them in this whole educational process once they get their whole agenda in place, which is being, of course, put into place by Common Core. That's the ultimate nail in the coffin of education that they've been working toward for years. So once that happens, then you no longer have parental rights whatsoever. Parental rights in every aspect, Diana, if you notice what's happening in our country, they're becoming a thing of the past.
Oh, are you right, Ms. Christina?
Hmm. Right, and they're not recognizing it. You know, it's sad. God calls people sheep, Diana, And I can see why, for a reason. They're, the PTAs and things go in and tell the parents, oh, this Common Core is great. The school boards say it's great. You guys have been to school board meetings, so have I. They lie, they lie, they lie. And the
well,
parents,
it's a crime, Ms. Christina. It is a crime because I worked for UN Resources, and I know I've seen child abuse. I know what abuse is like. And when you're, you know, you look at what they're doing to the minds of children, and it's almost like they're not just abusing the children, they're abusing teachers.
Yep.
They're abusing really principals, too, because you see the pressure. And, you know, we hear that in New York. We've heard the testimony from Mary Calamy, a licensed social worker. You know, the children are doing horrendous things to their own selves because of the stress level, right? Because of the testing. And I can't imagine what it's doing to the teachers. I can't imagine what it's doing to the principals. But they are turning into a dog-eat-dog mentality where, you know, I've got to preserve my job, right? So
yeah.
I'm not even willing to go there to think that I could be hurting the child because I just can't go there. I'm just going to do what they tell me, which they tell me, this is rigorous. This is good. You're going to get away from just doing. You're now going to learn why you're doing it. And there's all sorts of excuses that sounds good, but it's a lie.
Well, that's the whole point. And why are we all of a sudden teaching our children all about the UN? And we got to be good global digital citizens, good global manageable sustainable citizens. What is all of this? What happened to America? What happened to teaching them about America? You know, I just discovered in the healthcare bill, you know, the codes that they're using, how that you go to a doctor for a service and you have a code. This is kind of trailing off education, but it's one more thing the government is doing that's subversive, that has tied us to the UN. Well, do you know we're using international codes for medical treatments in this country? We're not using American codes. All of
I
our
didn't know that.
I just learned this, Diana. All of our information is going to the UN.
Wow.
Every, they report a code on a service that you have at the doctor. Now they have a new code that they've actually hidden, and of course, what a surprise, the government's hiding it from the public, right?
Oh, right.
That I was absolutely hit the floor when I read this. They are talking about asphyxiation, hanging, shooting, different methods of killing people. Yeah. So, Diana, we keep talking about how dark this is. You know, they want to destroy the children. They have to make the children and... Of course, Charlotte, you know, when she comes on, I want everyone to really listen to her. But, this whole thing about making them a labor workforce, that's all your children are going to be is a labor workforce. They're not going to be an individual. They're not going to be a child. They're going to be taught global sustainability, depopulation, environmentalism, globalism, and how to be manageable. Well, do you remember way back?
Oh, manageable. There you go.
Manageable. Do you remember way back when I shared with you a document from the United Nations on their mission and their goals for education? It says education should aim at destroying free will so that after the children have left school, they will only be able to think and do as their schoolmasters would have wished. And via using the diet, injections, injunctions, all these different methods, they will be able to control the children from birth to death. So this is what their goal is for children. They will no longer be able to think and do other than what their schoolmasters would have wished. Now, that's not the teachers I'm talking about. The teachers are going to be a thing of the past as well via this Common Core. Once this whole privatization, school choice, charters gets into place, that's where corporatism, fascism takes over. It takes over our children. And then they become property of the state. This is communism, pure and simple. It's fascism, pure and simple, where corporate and government marry and take control of the education system for their global, sustainable workforce, labor. This is what Reagan did for us in 1985 when he signed on with Gorbachev to merge our education systems. And Skinnerian, at the same time, signed a technology agreement with the Soviet Academy of Sciences to bring that into our country, and this is how they indoctrinate through technology. Now we have libraries. I want you to know we've got libraries around the country that are pulling out all the books, school libraries, and you can only have e-books. And e-books, kids can download and read whatever filth they want to read. They're taking out all the history, the literature, and replacing them with only e-books of what they want children to learn. This is how fast we're barreling down the pike.
Well, I'm just praying, Miss Christina, that parents, black, white, yellow, brown, whoever you are, wake up, because there's nobody really that can defend that particular child but that parent. And they're hearing, I think one of the problems, Miss Christina, too, is because of the culture. It's like a lot of these kids, they're, you know, the Common Core makes them pretty angry because they can't grasp it. So they come home, they're ill, and I'm thinking at the home, it cannot be easy. And then the parent tries to help with the homework, can't understand. So tension is up at home.
Yeah.
And then parents don't get it that it's not the child. Something else is wrong. And I can imagine for children whose parents don't get it, it's got to be pretty depressing for them. And then what do you expect? At some point, something's got to give.
Well, look at this child, Diana. Now, here's a prime example of what I'm talking about how they're going to take away parental rights. You're going to be accused of all different things. This parent in Massachusetts, you know, they took their daughter normally to Tufts Hospital, and then something happened or whatever. She had the flu, and they said, well, take her over to Boston Children's because that's where the doctor is that treats her at Tufts. He's over there. Go to the emergency room, ask for him. They'll send him down. They went there, did as they were told. They asked for the doctor. Before the doctor could get there, another doctor came in the emergency room and said, we disagree with that doctor's diagnosis. This child has a mental disorder caused by parents. Parents.
Wow.
Caused mental disorder. And I forget what disease she really did have that they were treating her for, but they said, no, it's this, and it's caused from parental stress. So they have now, taken custody of that child, and they've had custody of her for the last 9 months. And tomorrow they're having the final hearing whether they get custody of their daughter back. She's 13 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, and she's in the custody of the hospital. And they have no recourse. You can't sue. The hospital initiated a gag order on the parents that they couldn't even discuss what's happened to their child. Now, that's just one thing that's happening. There are so many things happening right now where they're usurping parental rights. And no one seems to have a leg to stand on to say, wait a minute, this is my child. Because it's not going to be your child any longer. It's going to be the state's child. And if people don't wake up and pull their kids out of this system before it's too late, they're going to win and we're going to lose. But we've got to reach as many people as possible and provide alternatives to get their kids out of this education system. Before the government, the government right now, Diana, as we know, is so evil that we can't afford to have them in charge of anything that has anything to do with our children, let alone us and our health care. That's bad enough.
Oh, indeed, Ms. Christina. And feel like you're hitting your head against a wall here.
Well, and sometimes you are, but, you know, think of how they're indoctrinating the children at school. And then the children come home, and then they do have rebellion against their parents and this and that. Well, they're being taught to rebel. They're being taught that their parents are stupid. I was watching, I don't know if you've ever seen this, Diana, it's a video that was put out. It's called It's Elementary. It was created by Ground Sparks. And Kevin Jennings actually did one a few years back, and now Ground Sparks has released a new one. And what it is, it's a video to show teachers, teach teachers, how to indoctrinate children on homosexuality. And they're putting this stuff out there, indoctrinating our children. One little girl, she was in elementary school, and they had homosexuals there, you know, educating the children about how great it is to be a homosexual and how we're just like you and everything's, you know, just hunky-dory and you can have two dads and two moms. So one of the little girls says, now bear in mind, these are kindergarten children. I mean, elementary children. And they said,
oh, my goodness.
Elementary. And she says, well, you know, she says, we're confused because we come to school and you tell us one thing. We go home and our parents and family tell us something different than what you say. We should be able to come to school and learn the truth. Now, she didn't say, my parents tell me the truth. No.
Oh, my goodness.
You see what she's saying there? We need to be able to come to school to learn the truth. And in the meantime, those teachers are up there indoctrinating those children to become homosexuals. This is how bad it is. And for anyone that wants to watch that video, go online and in YouTube, get in Ground Sparks, and they'll pull up several videos that Ground Sparks has done about homosexuality.
And, you know, Miss Christina Kotmakis knows what it's like to live around this kind of stuff because she is living in California. And she's got friends that she knows has moved to other states to get away from the education system that is in California. It is really, you know, it's almost hopeless. I think the only choice between the two is really to homeschool. The most homeschoolers in the country, believe it or not, is really in California, and it's because the system is so messed up. And I remember saying that, Ms. Christina, where, you know, they had passed a law in California that if your child has any problems, mental problems or concerns and need a counselor, they can see a counselor and the parent does not get informed that their child is seeing a counselor. And then with that kind of mindset that you're talking about being promoted in this California counseling, you're losing your child. If you really lose, if you take him to school in California, you in essence are surrendering the mind of your child.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? Colorado is not far behind us. You know, we were the first ones to institute the transgender bathrooms in locker rooms and dressing rooms and everything, and in our schools, mind you. And now Colorado has done it. And these girls complained in Colorado about being harassed by this little boy that came into their dressing room or their bathroom, and they said he was harassing us. They went after the girls, not the kid that was harassing. And they went after the girls, and they said, if you continue trying to, you know, complain and fight and against this and stuff, you may be prosecuted. Because there's a law. The law's on the side of the kid that's pretending to be a transsexual. Because it's discrimination if you discriminate against him. But the funny thing is, Diana, he goes back and forth between the boys' bathroom, the girls' bathroom, wherever he wants. It's a lark. They've created a law that it's a lark. It's a joke. But today I feel like a boy. Today I feel like a girl. Ooh, let's go in and check out the girls. Let's say we feel like girls today. This is what they're encouraging in school. And if you complain, you're threatened. They were threatened, literally, prosecution.
Mm. And Ms. Christina, you know, I've heard that this is like, you know, the further away you go from the beginning of this nation, the worse it gets. You know, you almost think, oh, this is as bad as it can get, but it gets worse than that. It's almost like, you know, when you make a Xerox copy, the more you make of that copy, you make another copy of your copy, it just gets worse. It doesn't get better because you're getting away from the original. And I think that's the price we're bearing to the point that, you know, the laws are being changed, as you're saying. Wrong is now considered right. And now, as a Christian, as we saw with Phil Robertson of, you know, Dynasty, you can't speak the truth anymore and keep a job. You can't speak the truth anymore and not be vilified. You are now on the out, even though you may be the majority. You know, there is those in the leaders now that's got the helm of the nation that, you know, they would turn this ship around, I think, and make us all sink to the bottom if they could, is what it seems like, as far as the mind anyway.
Right, right. I mean, they're doing everything they can to destroy the hearts and minds of our children and to just basically destroy America, you know, and sadly, people aren't fighting back. You know, to the what's happened to the Duck Dynasty, gentlemen, is ridiculous. Now, Glenn Beck said, you know, if they cancel the show, he says, we'll pick him up on the blaze in 2 seconds flat. You know, and that's the beauty of what Glenn Beck has created. I will say that much. You know, he's the only person out there that has the, you know, what's to stand up to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening. Our freedoms are being eroded. You know, you remember the pastor in Tennessee that I brought to your attention, Diana, that spoke at the school. He was invited to that 9/11 commemorative event. And they invited a pastor to speak. Well, what do you expect a pastor to speak about? And so the bottom line was, after he did that, he was attacked viciously by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, another one of these left-wing whack job organizations. And And tomorrow, as you know, Diana, we're going to have two girls on that wrote responses to the Freedom From Religion in defense of Pastor Stewart, and they're really, really awesome, awesome girls. So we're going to have a chance for the audience to meet them tomorrow. But they came after the principal. They came after the school because that the pastor actually had the audacity to mention God on a school campus. Now, this was not a just closed school event. It was open to the public. So it wasn't just like, oh, geez, well, this was a school event, and you're not supposed to mix church and state, you know? Well, it wasn't. It was open to the public. So anyway, they're now being persecuted, and they were saying that the children, you're not allowed to have this. Well, she wound up doing a survey in her own school of how many were offended. There was maybe 5% out of 100% that were offended by what happened. The rest of them thought it was great. Now, this principal in this school stood behind Pastor Stewart. How long do you think that's going to last in this environment we're in, where these organizations, these NGOs, can run rampant because they're funded by the government and attacking everyone that opens their mouth about God or Christianity? Now, remember, you got to get rid of God and Christianity, don't you? You can't have evolution and creationism. You can't have God and Mother Earth worship. Pantheism. So that's why they're getting God and parents and everything out of the children's lives.
It is rather sad. But I'm so proud of those girls, Miss Christina. That gives us hope when you hear that two of these high school girls made a stand. They know what's right, and they're going to fight for it. Puts us to shame, and you know, but at the same time, it is very encouraging, and I'm hoping, yes, parents, we need to play that more than once. Next week, we might have to play that quite a few times, next week, just to remind people, this is what it's all about, you know, and this is why it's so important to get rid of the Common Core mindset, because as Joan Landis, a mental health therapist, has reminded us, you know, she says, you know, freedom thinkers, children that can think for themselves, they are free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are free. And that's what we've had for a long time. We have raised children that can be exceptional, that can think for themselves, can think out of the box. And this cookie-cutter approach called Common Core, well, you know, is like really whoever has the handle on it that's pushing the buttons at the top pretty much directs the outcome. It's garbage in, garbage out. And when we hear the Linda Darling Hammond and Bill Ayers, those two alone should give people pause. But then there's a whole lot of others, you know, that develops the kind of book that we wouldn't, you know, allow to be an example, yet they're allowing to be held up as examples. So I think if a parent just really studies, Miss Christina, it's not going to be hard to find the truth. I mean, we're hearing more parents, so when they actually do study it, they get it. But the problem, I think, is there's so much money. So a lot of people are getting bought to be the cheerleaders for the other side.
Right. And you got to realize, Diana, on their side, they have tons and tons of NGOs. Tons and tons of NGOs. And these are the people that are being fed money all the time, all the time, all the time. So consequently, all these organizations are working against us, being funded by the government to literally destroy. George Soros, I can't tell you how many organizations George Soros, 5,000 that I know of, if not more. And everything you can think of for the demise of our children and the United States of America. That's his goal. So this is what's happening, and these organizations are being funded. Now, take that a step further. They're trying to, the IRS, you know, because of what the IRS targeting the Tea Party and all of this stuff. Well, what's happening with the 501Cs and things like that? Well, now they're manipulating those so that they can validate what they did to the Tea Party. So they're going to make sure that those that have Tea Party 501C4s are no longer allowed to do anything that they've done in the past. But the organizations like George Soros's and all the NGOs, which is non-governmental organizations that are funded by the government, they get to do whatever they want. The unions come under a different one. The teachers come under a different one. Those aren't being touched, just the ones that the Tea Party's coming under in the IRS. So there's so much happening. And again, if people don't wake up, Diana, to the realization of what is happening to their kids, if your child all of a sudden comes home and is making F's or is having bad behavior, think about where they've been all day. And maybe start to look there first. And don't listen to the lies of the teacher, because the teacher, again, like you said earlier, Diana, they're so scared about their job and their paycheck, they're willing to sell out the children. And see, we don't have an adult in the room right now. We have to be the adults. We're going to have to be the ones that God has called to stand in the gap for these children.
Well, Ms. Christina, you know, that's it. You know, God expects a lot more out of us adults than the children. The children, you know, and I think in the Bible it says for fathers to train up the children. It's not government. It's not, you know, other people. It is fathers. And so it's in the family. It's a family responsibility. Now, the family has entrusted the public schools to teach them how to read and write, but the value system, that, you know, that should be left alone. But unfortunately, it's in there. The values of these corrupt people are unfortunately what's being taught, because everybody has a bias. You know, they always say, oh, we've got to be objective, you know, unbiased. But, Ms. Christina, is there such a person?
No.
I guess that's why God said, choose ye leaders that fear God, right?
Right. There's reasons why God said everything he said, isn't it, Diana? You know, we can go back to now what's happening in Belgium and the Netherlands, euthanasia. Okay? That is something, now, you think, what has that got to do with children? Well, they're passing laws now that you can euthanize children if they're disabled or if they're depressed, okay, emotional issues, you can euthanize them legally now. Now, bring that forward to Common Core and C-Scope, which is in Texas. They actually teach you and encourage you to commit suicide and do things to yourself if you can't cut the mustard. You know, Edward Bernays said, you know, you're going to have to justify why you think you should be allowed to live as a functioning member of society. And that's where we're at with Common Core. They actually teach you, because if your child won't conform, won't be one of these manageable little citizens, good sustainable worker bees, then they'll encourage you, because don't forget, they're teaching them depopulation. In this environmental movement they have, you've got to get rid of 90% of the population on the planet.
Well, Ms. Christina, I just want to back up what you're saying. You know, for people that are saying that is the most ridiculous conspiracy theory thing. You remember when they came out with the VA book that, you know, when the veteran came home, they were to look at this book, and it's pretty much an end-of-life, you know, book. And I was talking to John Bernard about that, and sure enough, and he's put it on his website. It is shocking that you would do that to people that have just been through so much trauma that, you know, if you feel like you're no longer worthy, hey, you know, these are the things you look at. And so, folks, if you just look at the documents, there's plenty of documentation out there that your own government, this administration in particular, you know, has put out there. And I think about with Obamacare, you know, there's that chart that was done by Rahm Emanuel's brother, I think, that was over the health, the czar. And it was something.
Ezekiel,
there you go. And it was something about, like you're saying, the value. And the really on both ends of the spectrum were the elderly and the very, you know, the very young.
Mm-hmm.
And so those were the ones that, you know, we can afford to.
And if you look deeply into Obamacare, which is going to affect our children as well, look deeply into that, and there is, you know, you can mock Sarah Palin all you want when she talked about the death panels, but they're there. They're not only there, there is a code for killing you. And I just got the documentation today. You know, people can say we're crazy, Diana. They can say it's conspiracy theory. I encourage you guys again to go to, you know, deliberatedumbingdown.com and order Charlotte's Global Road to Ruin. You're going to learn a tremendous amount, much more than you ever wanted to know. And then you'll know that this isn't a conspiracy theory. This is facts. Sad to say, but they're facts. Everything we've shared on this show today is facts. It sounds sick, mm-hmm. and it sounds crazy. But we're not. Our government is literally, we're going into a one-world mentality. And the powers that be that are controlling things want a population reduction. That's what they're teaching your school.
Well, Ms. Christina, is again, you know, I've heard that in computer class, you know, garbage in, garbage out. And who's at the helm? And so, you know, when you look at Obamacare, how can you doubt when the proof is in front of you already? Is there a reason for all of us to be suffering like we're fixing to suffer, the majority of us, because we did have a good health care system that did help the majority of the American people? But, you know, I hear grown men, Ms. Christina, that are just in turmoil because for the first time in their lives, they can no longer support their families because of the price of just one of the basic necessities we thought that would be covered, you know, with us working hard, and that was our insurance. But even hardworking men had no longer have control of that little aspect. I think for a lot of people, that's why they went to work, was for health insurance, and even that's going away.
Right, and they want you to be on Medicaid. So they're pushing everybody to Medicaid. Medicaid is just welfare, and that's putting you under the thumb of the government because you're a welfare patient. So that's what they're trying to do, because ultimately, Diana, this is to take us to a single payer system where the government is in charge. There are no more insurance companies. They're going to make the insurance companies go broke. And that's their ultimate. Every goal they have is so evil and diabolical. They want to do away with our health care system and incorporate a single payer. We'll be like Korea. Even Colin Powell came out and said we should have a single payer health care system like Korea. Really? When did we aspire to be like Korea? with our health care.
Wow.
We're the lead care in the world. Everybody comes here for health care, and we're going to aspire to be like Korea.
Single-payer system, it makes me think of Heil Hitler. You know, you got a single leader that's controlling everything and can decide who's going to go and who's going to live.
Now,
so I think we better wake up.
Yeah, take that a step further, Diana. You said that the men can't even provide. The government is fixing it so the man can't provide for his family, period, let alone health care. Because they've taken and destroyed everything of everybody, their home value, their retirement, their savings. Everything has been destroyed by this administration. Everything.
And it stinks. And it stinks when you think, Ms. Christina, that really the amount of oil that is really underneath here in our own borders is incredible. Incredible,
yes.
And we see that with the Dakotas, right? I mean, there's so much boom over there, and yet here in Alabama, you know, the coal industries are being forced to shut down by the EPA and their, you know, little regulations that wouldn't make a hill of difference in the air clarity.
Right.
But that's what happens when you get to write the laws, as we've pretty much seen this precedent, you know, with all the executive orders and everything. So I think it's a spiritual blindness, Ms. Christina, but I do know that there's more waking up. They're seeing the effects of Obamacare. So sometimes,
yeah.
I guess, we're stubborn people, and I guess, you know, I'm reminded of the people in the Jewish nation wandering for 40 years. I almost feel like we've been doing that, haven't we? We've been wandering round and round in circle, and now we're faced with Obamacare. So you know what? It's right in front of you. You know, destruction is here. That is the path you've been going, you know, of being stubborn and not listening to the one who really, where all blessings flow. And so we're going to ask God, David Barton, to come. He's coming January 18th to the Dothan area from 6 to 8:30 to a conference to bring us back to kind of I think a way to look at what's happening through the eyes of through biblical eyes, biblical interpretation, because really there is no fix without God.
He's going to bring us back to our roots, Diana. I mean, that's the whole point. As David Barton speaks, he speaks to the history of this nation. The history of this nation is totally based on God. And yet we're standing here saying God's got to go. And our children don't even know who God is anymore because they're doing everything in their power. The anti-Christian bias in the school, in the education system, I even hate to say education because they're not educating the kids. You know, let's spend more money, throw more money at it. Why? So we can go to the unions? Really? Because that's all it goes to. It doesn't go to the children. Look at how far we've fallen. You talk about oil, Diana. Look at how much California has. Will we tap into it? No. No, instead, we're going to plug in and make us all ride bicycles and stuff. Today, we've got a ban on plastic bags. You can't have plastic bags any longer in our valley because they're not green. It's crazy.
It reminds me of somebody who has a phobia. Who was it? Howard Hughes that died without any clothes on because he had a phobia for germs. And I'm thinking, God made this world for us, but yet now we're like prisoners.
Yeah.
Prisoners in our own world. So may God help us well.
I hate to say all these things
before Christmas, Ms. Christina, but hopefully this will be conversation starter for, you know, for families to take a look at how far we have gotten away from God's ways. There is no other way. God's way is the only way for us to really make it. And I think I love the fact that he is a forgiving God, and Jesus did say 70 times 7 he'll forgive. You know, you're to ask for forgiveness, you know. And so I've heard, too, that the difference between Judas Iscariot, who sold him for 30 pieces of silver, and Peter was the fact that that Peter asked for forgiveness. So I do think that, you know, it's never too late in God's time when we ask for forgiveness. Now, we will have consequences, But I think this is the time, especially when we're here, what's going on in Israel, for families to this Christmas pray and ask God to forgive us and help us. Have mercy on our families and our children. And I thank God that, you know, we do know, we who are, whose names are written in heaven, know that there is a place for us that he has for us in heaven. So, you know, there is hope. I mean, it does sound bad, folks, but the other side is, me and Miss Christina knows that the Bible says we win. But now, if you don't know him and you're full of hopelessness, then, you know, it's time to turn, because too much in history tells you, it's like, you got, like we said yesterday, Miss Christina, trust God, and then remember, he never fails. He really has never failed us. He has time and time again answered our prayers and met our needs. But we have to be, we have to quit being stubborn, don't we? We have to really ask God for forgiveness and help.
Absolutely. And just, you know, while we say all that we say, and that's important, you need to hear it, you need to understand that it's a fact, it's happening, wake up, get involved. But on the flip side, like Diana's saying, there is hope in God. And as you go into this holiday time, remember the reason we even have this holiday period. It was Jesus Christ. It wasn't a tree. It wasn't a bulb. It wasn't a present. It was the gift of Almighty God, of his Son, for our salvation. And now is the time. Turn back to God. Invite him into your life. Let him be the Lord of your life and experience the beauty and wonders that God shares with you when you're one of his. That's what we need to do in this nation. And when David Barton speaks, that's what he talks about, is the beauty of God and how it shaped our founders, our nation. Most of our Constitution, Bill of Rights, all of that stuff was based on the Bible. Our first Bible was printed by Congress. Why was it printed, Diana? So that the kids would be taught in school the Bible. So we've strayed so far. We've got to come back. And let's let this season, as we see, I think more and more people are waking up, Diana, and as people see what's going on, realize what we've lost in our nation, and that's God. Bring God back, and you will see a nation restored.
Oh, what a word that is, Ms. Christina. And very, folks, that is, I think, the message of this Christmas. That is it. And I just love it. We do have a chance here in America to come together as families. And what an opportunity, Ms. Christina, to bring all these concerns together. And as a family, you know, ask God for help. And we are just, there's no place like this. There's no tradition like this. Other than Israel, there is no, this is just an incredible gift from God to allow us to, you know, to live in this land. And he did say, choose ye leaders that fear God. And we've not done a good job of that. And we're reaping the results of it.
Change it in 2014. In 2014, look for that godly leader. Look for that person that truly is principled and stands on the word of God. And it doesn't matter how hokey you feel or, oh, geez, well, he's not the popular one. Vote the way God wants you to vote, not the way the world's telling you to vote. Let's change who we put as our representative, because we are accountable for these people that we put in. And when we complain about what's happening and the destruction of our nation and how they're leading us into communism, we elected these people.
And I feel sorry for them, Ms. Christina. I feel sorry for these, because to me they're digging a hole, and I don't want to be where they're headed. They're going to have to be accountable to the one who will hold them in the palm of his hand and send them for eternity. So I just, I guess we're going to close in prayer, Ms. Christina, and I just, I'm looking at here at Romans 12, a living sacrifice to God. You know, that's really the gift that God wants, is for us to let Christ live, right?
Oh,
and selfishness die. I think that would be the greatest gift this Christmas. And you know, I think if you're a parent or you're a teacher or you're a principal or you're a leader, I pray that, you know, if you don't know the Lord, that you will come to know him, that he will help you through whatever burden. He does care for us physically, so he does care about you being able to eat and provide for your family. I mean, he knows the hairs on our heads, right, Ms. Christina? He certainly, you know, if he cares about that little aspect of us, he certainly cares about your family and how you're going to eat,
provide,
and live.
Yes. Yes. Says, my God, so, I shall supply all of your needs according to my riches and glories in Christ Jesus. If you believe, if, that little word, I-F, if you believe, if you trust me. And as I shared with you yesterday, Diana, the Lord said to me, everything's going to be okay. Trust me. Enough said for me. Enough said. Trust God in all things.
Mm.
And that's what we do, again, as a nation. It started when we took God out of our schools, and it has just progressed ever since and to the point to where 4% of our children know God and continue on in the faith after they get out of school. 4%. So we've
and now they've perfected it.
Yep,
they've perfected it, Ms. Christina. They're putting it now in the lower, you know, lower grade. So, let's fight. It's time, like, yes, and I believe Romans 12 is timely for us. We have to remember, and I love it, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given you, you know, and a teacher has a gift from God, a principal has a gift that he was given by God, a legislator has a gift that has been given to him by God. Use it, though, for God.
Mm-hmm.
That it may go well for you and your family. So let's let this be. And to Ms. Christina, I keep over in my mind, I remember Ms. Joni Erickson Tata pointing to the word about cowardly will not enter heaven. I've not really ever paid attention to that until she said that. And she said it was in Revelation, and I think it might be in chapter 22. Let's see if I can look at that. And when I heard her say that, and here's a woman that's not even, you know, able to, you know, stand up. She's in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she is talking about, you know, the cowardly. So it doesn't matter who you are, what kind of problems you have, God is expecting you to not be a coward. And I think to myself, if you are not defending these children,
mm-hmm.
not only does that scripture apply to you, but then there's that scripture about being letting the children stumble.
Mm-hmm.
That too is very, very ominous, very, very scary. As a child of God, I certainly, don't like to look at those kind of scriptures and don't want it ever be applied to me. Well, I'm trying to look up that scripture, and let's see. I know it's something about who is going to enter.
We're just trying to reach the people to let them understand that the hope is in God, not government. And to remember during this time that now is the time to realize that our government has exceeded its boundaries. It's time for us to be overcomers, to stand in the gap for the children and this nation, this beautiful nation that God has given us. Let's not lose it, because if we don't take it back soon, we are going to lose the greatest gift that God ever gave besides his son, Yeshua. And he's calling us all. He's calling his people to humble themselves. And I pray my holiday season is that you all will. You all will humble yourselves. And don't make it about the gifts. Make it about the Lord. To bring your families back together, to unite families. This is what we've lost. We've lost our family unit. We've lost our respect for parents. This is what has to be restored. So let this season be a season of restoration.
Well, this is I found the scripture, Miss Christina. It says it's 21. It's chapter 21, verse 8. But I'm going to start with 6. And he says unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and this is what really got me, the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and warmongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What astounded me about that verse, Miss Christina, is what is the first word, and it's that fearful, which in another Bible I had, it was cowardly, and it's talking about, if you fear persecution so badly that you choose temporary personal safety over eternal life with God, that's one of the things that they're talking about, those who abandon. And I think, when we abandon children because we are afraid of our own, I hate to say it, our jobs. Do we not trust God to send us something else or make another way?
Diana, the pastors don't even trust God for their congregations. They say, I can't get up there and say that. I'll lose my congregation. I can't get up there and say this. I'll lose my donors. I can't get up there and say this. I will lose my 501c3, and my board will be unhappy. Where was God in any of that? How about
I will have to say this to the Alabama Baptist that passed that resolution about Common Core, Ms. Christina. I'm really thankful for that. In Alabama, there are pastors that have overcome that fear.
You know it as well as I do. They're not out there. They're out there so few and far between. It is really sad. And when you do read the things that pastors, that come out of pastors' mouths, it makes you just take pause and go, dear God in heaven, where did you learn this? They're polyparroting the world, not God.
I think I remember one very famous pastor that's very scary to me right now with a Chris Lom, promotion of Chris Lom.
Yeah,
so,
Rick Warren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very scary. Unfortunately, he is not alone. But I am very comforted here in Alabama that started, because that had to take some courage. It is a beginning.
Yes.
And I'm so proud of another pastor, Miss Christina. I think he's about 80-something years old. But he's going out there, and he is mentoring. He is talking. I'm just astounded at this man. He is one of our, he's a leader for us. He's always prayed for the radio show, and he's out there talking to other pastors about this conference. And I know, I cannot help but think that, this is a man close to God's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so grateful for him.
Well, praise
but
God,
anyway,
yes.
I'm going to go ahead and close this in prayer, Ms. Christina, and let you have some more last words. But God is so good. And, Lord,
yes,
we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to praise you this time of the year, Lord, where I have heard it said, Lord, there was even a war that stopped for 2 days to celebrate this time of the year. But, Lord, and they know, Lord, they were able to stop it for a minuscule time. But, Lord, they knew they did not want to fight, but they had leaders telling them to fight. And, Lord, we know that there are teachers, there are principals, administrators in our state that are being told to promote this thing called Common Core for the children. And there are parents that's promoting it, too, because they don't know that it's bad. They don't know the truth. So I pray, Lord, that this Christmas that you would give us the gift, Lord, of truth. You said that you seek true worshipers, Lord, that worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray, Lord, that every parent that hears this, every grandparent, every aunt, every uncle, every teacher, every principal, every administrator would for themselves, because it matters to you, find out the truth about Common Core. And, Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, And, Lord, we just lift up our military for their sacrifices. And, Lord, I just pray for what was done to them this past week by the Ryan Murray bill, Lord. We ask that you help them, that somehow you would make a way for them individually to make it through, even with this added burden, Lord. It's not enough that they're sacrificing their lives, their families, for us so that we can maintain our way of life. Lord, we ask that you help them because you are able. You are able to meet them at their needs, Lord. And, Lord, we pray for the children that are suffering, Lord, that their parents don't know what's going on. We ask that you send them comfort and grace and help, Lord, that you shield their mind and emotions, Lord. And Heavenly Father, I just also lift up, Lord, Israel, Lord. They're under, Lord, such tremendous onslaught. I just heard today where, Lord, they're trying to remove all those that live in Jerusalem, all the Jews that live in Jerusalem that is being put out there in the news that the other side must use everything in their resources to get rid of the Jews that's in Jerusalem. So, Lord, we pray that you would be, Lord, with apple of your eye. Lord, help us to do our part, Lord. And Lord, I also lift up, Lord, oh, Heavenly Father, our law enforcement officers, they're working so hard. They have their own families, and they, too, are putting their lives on the line. We ask that you also help them, especially this time of the year where there seems to be more tension, Lord, more of families, Lord, that seems to have this domestic squabble. Lord, we just pray that you'll help us, Lord. Have mercy upon us. May bless the pastors that are standing up. Give them encouragement and send more to stand with them, Lord. And, Lord, I pray for the lives of Miss Christina and others that are, Lord, just sending the alarm, Lord. Help the people to wake up, Lord. Help us to stand in the gap, Lord. And, Lord, we just thank you. We give you praise and honor, Lord. And, Lord, in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Ms. Christina, if you don't mind, mention Operation Jericho and how people can find out information also before you go.
Yes, please visit us at operationjerichoproject.com. Sorry. And we have our other website for a cure, which is Citizens United for Responsible Education to Fight Against Common Core. And that's www.natcure.org. So join us at OperationJerichoProject.com and find out all the alternatives that are available to you to get your children out of this government system. We really must wake up. And I just pray, I pray with everything I'm worth during this holiday season that you really seek God for his will for your lives. And I just pray blessings upon everyone.
Thank you, Ms. Christina. And listeners, join us again tomorrow on City on the Hill. We're going to have Christina and Tiffany, two high school girls. Ms. Christina, Tiffany, and Heather that made a stand with a pastor that prayed a prayer in their school on 9/11. So please come on. That will be at 7:30 Central Time tomorrow. So thank you, Ms. Christina. And we will have Ms. Charlotte Inserby join us in January. We are going to take a two-week off, it seems like, and play some of our best of the best, some of our wonderful shows so that parents can learn more about Common Core and other things. But anyway, may God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on a Hill. Please go to the website, www.cityonahill.tv, and share the podcast, and may it bless you. Good night.
Good night. God bless.